Today on Tristan Storytime, Tom Kitten, Mittens, and Moppet get into mischief as their mother, Mrs. Tabitha Twitchit, prepares for a visit from her friends for her tea party. Then a giant forbids a group of children from playing in his garden, causing an eternal winter, and the only way for spring to ever return is for him to overcome his selfishness. Next, a deceitful fox decides to have a cock for breakfast, but a dog acting as a lifeguard to the cock may give the fox a taste of his own medicine. And finally, Robert Louis Stevenson's classic poem, Wintertime, will help you think warm thoughts as the snow, the wind, and cheery fires come into the picture. Those stories and more are next on Tristan Storytime. You won't want to miss it. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Tristan Storytime. I'm Tristan Gardner. I'm so glad you're able to join me once again for another great episode. And as always, feel free to use your imaginations, because this is what this podcast is all about, using your imaginations. So find a seat and get comfortable, because another episode of Tristan Storytime is about to begin. You may recall the story of Miss Moppet from one of my earlier shows. Well, Miss Moppet will be joined by two other kittens in this story. Plus, Jemima Puddle Duck and her relations make appearances as well. This tale is all about manners and how children react to them. And it's all in The Tale of Tom Kitten, written and illustrated by Beatrix Potter. Once upon a time, there were three little kittens, and their names were Mittens, Tom Kitten, and Moppet. They had dear little fur coats of their own, and they tumbled about the doorstep and played in the dust. But one day, their mother, Mrs. Tabitha Twitchit, expected friends to tea, so she fetched the kittens indoors to wash and dress them before the fine company arrived. First, she scrubbed their faces. This one is Moppet. Then she brushed their fur. This one is Mittens. Then she combed their tails and whiskers. This is Tom Kitten. Tom was very naughty, and he scratched. Mrs. Tabitha dressed Moppet and Mittens in clean pinafores and tuckers, and then she took all sorts of elegant, uncomfortable clothes out of a chest of drawers in order to dress up her son Thomas. Tom Kitten was very fat, and he had grown. Several buttons burst off. His mother sewed them on again. When the three kittens were ready, Mrs. Tabitha unwisely turned them out into the garden to be out of the way while she made hot buttered toast.
"Now keep your flocks cleaned, children. You must walk on your hind legs, keep away from the dirty ash pit, and from Sally Henny Penny, and from the pigsty and the puddle ducks."
Moppet and Mittens walked down the garden path unsteadily. Presently, they trod upon their pinafores and fell on their noses. When they stood up, there were several green smears.
"Let us climb up the rockery and sit on the garden wall," said Moppet.
They turned their pinafores back to front and went up with a skip and a jump. Moppet's white tucker fell down into the road. Tom Kitten was quite unable to jump when walking upon his hind legs in trousers. He came up the rockery by degrees, breaking the ferns and shedding buttons right and left. He was all in pieces when he reached the top of the wall. Moppet and Mittens tried to pull him together. His hat fell off, and the rest of his buttons burst. While they were in difficulties, there was a pit-pit-paddle-pat, and the three puddle ducks came along the hard, high road, marching one behind the other and doing the goose step. Pit-pat-paddle-pat, pit-pat-waddle-pat. They stopped and stood in a row and stared up at the kittens. They had very small eyes and looked surprised. Then the two duck birds, Rebecca and Jemima Puddle Duck, picked up the hat tucker and put them on. Mittens laughed so much that she fell off the wall. Moppet and Tom descended after her. The pinafores and all the rest of Tom's clothes came off on the way down.
"Come, Mr. Drake Puddle Duck," said Moppet. "Come and help us to dress him. Come and button up Tom."
Mr. Drake Puddle Duck advanced in a slow, sideways manner and picked up the various articles. But he put them on himself. They fitted him even worse than Tom Kitten. "It's a very fine morning," said Mr. Drake Puddle Duck. And he and Jemima and Rebecca Puddle Duck set off up the road, keeping step. Pit-pat, paddle-pat, pit-pat, waddle-pat. Then Tabitha Twitchit came down the garden and found her kittens on the wall with no clothes on. She pulled them off the wall, smacked them, and took them back to the house.
"My friends will arrive in a minute, and you are not fit to be seen. I am affronted," said Mrs. Tabitha Twitchit.
She sent them upstairs, and I am sorry to say she told her friends that they were in bed with the measles, which was not true. Quite the contrary, they were not in bed, not in the least. Somehow there were very extraordinary noises overhead, which disturbed the dignity and repose of the tea party. And I think that someday I shall have to make another, larger book to tell you more about Tom Kitten. As for the Puddle Ducks, they went into a pond. The clothes all came off directly, because there were no buttons. There are some things to be said about this story. Teasing is not pleasing, especially to those who don't appreciate it. Plus, it's very, very important to have good manners. They'll help you become a great success in life. That was a pretty entertaining story, but let's read some more. There's more of Tristan's Storytime coming right up. This story explores the theme of selfishness and gives us many good reasons to share and share alike. And it's all in The Selfish Giant by Oscar Wilde. Every afternoon, as they were coming from school, the children used to go and play in the giant's garden. It was a large, lovely garden with soft green grass. Here and there, over the grass, stood beautiful flowers like stars. And there were 12 peach trees that in the springtime broke out into delicate blossoms of pink and pearl, and in the autumn bore rich fruit. The birds sat on the trees and sang so sweetly that the children used to stop their games in order to listen to them.
"How happy we are here,"
they said to each other. One day, the giant came back. He had been to visit his friend, the Cornish ogre, and had stayed with him for 7 years. After the 7 years were over, he had said all that he had to say, for his conversation was limited, and he determined to return to his own castle. When he arrived, he saw the children playing in the garden.
"What are you doing here?"
he cried in a very gruff voice, and the children ran away.
"My own garden is my own garden," said the giant. "Anyone can understand that, and I will allow nobody to play in it but myself."
So he built a high wall all around it and put up a notice board. "Trespassers will be prosecuted." He was a very selfish giant. The poor children now had nowhere to play. They tried to play on the road, but the road was very dusty and full of hard stones, and they did not like it. They used to wander around the high wall when their lessons were over and talk about the beautiful garden inside.
"How happy we were there,"
they said to each other. Then the spring came, and all over the country there were little blossoms and little birds. Only in the garden of the selfish giant, it was still winter. The birds did not care to sing in it, as there were no children, and the trees forgot to blossom. Once, a beautiful flower put its head out from the grass, but when it saw the notice board, it was so sorry for the children that it slipped back into the ground again and went off to sleep. The only people who were pleased were the snow and the frost. Spring has forgotten this garden, they cried. So we will live here all the year round. The snow covered up the grass with her great white cloak, and the frost painted all the trees silver. Then they invited the North Wind to stay with them, and he came. He was wrapped in furs, and he roared all day about the garden and blew the chimney pots down. This is a delightful spot, he said. We must ask the hail on a visit. So the hail came. Every day for 3 hours, he rattled on the roof of the castle till he broke most of the slates, and then he ran round and round the garden as fast as he could go. He was dressed in gray, and his breath was like ice. I cannot understand why the spring is so late in coming, said the selfish giant, as he sat at the window and looked out at his cold, white garden. I hope there will be a change in the weather. But the spring never came, nor the summer. The autumn gave golden fruit to every garden, but to the giant's garden, she gave none.
He is too selfish, she said.
So it was always winter there, and the north wind and the hail and the frost and the snow danced about through the trees. One morning, the giant was lying awake in bed when he heard some lovely music. It sounded so sweet to his ears that he thought it must be the king's musicians passing by. It was really only a little linnet singing outside his window, but it was so long since he had heard a bird sing in his garden that it seemed to him to be the most beautiful music in the world. Then the hail stopped dancing over his head, and the north wind ceased roaring, and a delicious perfume came to him through the open casement.
I believe the spring has come at last, said the giant. And he jumped out of bed and looked out. What did he see? He saw a most wonderful sight. Through a little hole in the wall, the children had crept in, and they were sitting in the branches of the trees. In every tree that he could see, there was a little child. And the trees were so glad to have the children back again that they had covered themselves with blossoms and were waving their arms gently above the children's heads. The birds were flying about and twittering with delight, and the flowers were looking up through the green grass and laughing. It was a lovely scene, only in one corner it was still winter. It was the farthest corner of the garden, and in it was standing a little boy. He was so small that he could not reach up to the branches of the tree, and he was wandering all round it, crying bitterly. The poor tree was still quite covered with frost and snow, and the north wind was blowing and roaring above it.
"Climb up, little boy," said the tree,
and it bent its branches down as low as it could. But the boy was too tiny. And the giant's heart melted as he looked out.
How selfish I have been, he said. Now I know why the spring would not come here. I will put that poor little boy on the top of the tree, and then I will knock down the wall, and my garden shall be the children's playground forever and ever.
He was really very sorry for what he had done. So he crept downstairs and opened the front door quite softly and went out into the garden. But when the children saw him, they were so frightened that they all ran away and the garden became winter again. Only the little boy did not run, for his eyes were so full of tears that he did not see the giant coming. And the giant stole up behind him and took him gently in his hand and put him up into the tree. And the tree broke at once into blossom, and the birds came and sang on it, and the little boy stretched out his two arms and flung them round the giant's neck and kissed him. And the other children, when they saw that the giant was not wicked any longer, came running back, and with them came the spring.
It is your garden now, little children, said the giant,
and he took a great axe and knocked down the wall. And when the people were going to market at 12 o'clock, they found the giant playing with the children in the most beautiful garden they had ever seen. All day long they played, and in the evening they came to the giant to bid him goodbye.
But where is your little companion? He said. The boy I put into the tree.
The giant loved him the best because he had kissed him.
We don't know,
answered the children.
He has gone away.
You must tell him to be sure and come here tomorrow, said the giant.
But the children said that they did not know where he lived and had never seen him before. And the giant felt very sad. Every afternoon, when school was over, the children came and played with the giant. But the little boy whom the giant loved was never seen again. The giant was very kind to all the children, yet he longed for his first little friend and often spoke of him.
How I would like to see him, he used to say.
Years went over, and the giant grew very old and feeble. He could not play about anymore, so he sat in a huge armchair and watched the children at their games and admired his garden.
I have many beautiful flowers, he said, but the children are the most beautiful flowers of all.
One winter morning, he looked out of his window as he was dressing. He did not hate the winter now, for he knew that it was merely the spring asleep and that the flowers were resting. Suddenly, he rubbed his eyes in wonder and looked and looked. It certainly was a marvelous sight. In the farthest corner of the garden was a tree quite covered with lovely white blossoms. Its branches were all golden and silver fruit hung down from them. And underneath it stood the little boy he had loved. Downstairs ran the giant in great joy and out into the garden. He hastened across the grass and came near to the child. And when he came quite close, his face grew red with anger, and he said,
Who hath dared to wound thee?
For on the palms of the child's hands were the prints of two nails, and the prints of two nails were on the little feet.
Who hath dared to wound thee? Cried the giant. Tell me that I may take my big sword and slay him.
Nay,
answered the child.
But these are the wounds of love.
Oh, who art thou?
Said the giant, and a strange awe fell on him, and he knelt before the little child. And the child smiled on the giant and said to him,
You let me play once in your garden. Today you shall come with me to my garden, which is paradise.
And when the children ran in that afternoon, they found the giant lying dead under the tree, all covered with white blossoms. Now here's the moral of the story that everyone should learn. If we give happiness to others, we can also feel happiness in our lives. I think the giant remembered that lesson well. Don't you? I just love reading stories. You're listening to Tristan's Storytime. It never pays to deceive. Okay, hardly ever pays to deceive. And I'll tell you why as I read this fable. And it's all in The Dog, the Cock, and the Fox by Aesop. A dog and a cock, who were the best of friends, wished very much to see something of the world. So they decided to leave the farmyard and to set out into the world, along the road that led to the woods. The two comrades traveled along in the very best of spirits and without meeting any adventure to speak of. At nightfall, the cock, looking for a place to roost, as was his custom, spied a nearby hollow tree that he thought would do very nicely for a night's lodging. The dog could creep inside, and the cock would fly up on one of the branches. So said, so done, and both slept very comfortably. With the first glimmer of dawn, the cock awoke. For the moment, he forgot just where he was. He thought he was still in the farmyard where it had been his duty to arouse the household at daybreak. So standing on tiptoes, he flapped his wings and crowed lustily. But instead of awakening the farmer, he awakened a fox not far off in the wood. The fox immediately had rosy visions of a very delicious breakfast. Hurrying to the tree where the cock was roosting, he said very politely,
A hearty welcome to our woods, honored sir.
I cannot tell you how glad I am to see you here. I am quite sure we shall become the closest of friends.
I feel highly flattered, kind sir,
replied the cock slyly. If you will please go around to the door of my house at the foot of the tree, my porter will let you in.
The hungry but unsuspecting fox went around the tree as he was told, and in a twinkling, the dog had seized him. The fox learned the hard way why it never pays to deceive, and the moral of this story is, those who try to deceive may expect to be paid in their own coin.
Oh no, it's time to imagine London Bridge falling down. Oh, it fell down into the river. What can we use to fix it? Maybe sticks and stones. No, sticks and stones will break my bones. Maybe wood and clay? Nah, not hard enough. Maybe iron and steel. Nah, that's too hard. What do you think we should use to repair London Bridge? Well, in our imagination, we can use anything we want to. And why not? Because coincidentally, today's nursery rhyme is London Bridge. So let's join in and sing along as we think of many ways to repair the old London Bridge. Come on! Don't go away. Tristan Storytime will continue. In one of my earlier shows, you may recall that I read a poem that was dedicated to summer. Well, today I'd like to read a poem that's dedicated to winter. I hope this poem will give you warm thoughts as I read it. It's called Winter Time by Robert Louis Stevenson. Late lies the wintry sun abed, a frosty, fiery, sleepy head. Blinks but an hour or two, and then a blood-red orange sets again. Before the stars have left the skies, at morning in the dark I rise, and shivering in my nakedness, by the cold candle, bathe and dress. Close by the jolly fire I sit, to warm my frozen bones a bit. Or with a reindeer sled explore the colder countries round the door. When to go out, my nurse doth wrap me in my comforter and cap. The cold wind burns my face and blows its frosty pepper up my nose. Black are my steps on silver sod, thick blows my frosty breath abroad, and tree and house and hill and lake are frosted like a wedding cake. Boy, those were some great stories that we read today, weren't they? But we've just come to the end of another great show. Did you enjoy it? I know I did. Leave a comment on the Tristan Storytime Facebook page and Twitter feed. And don't forget to follow Tristan Storytime on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Oh, and hey, if you missed a great story from the past, you're in luck, because you get to see great videos of some of the stories I read in the past every Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m. on social media. Music and sound effects are included. And if you want to get in touch with me, that's also very easy. Just send an email to tristanstorytime@gmail.com and I'll be in touch with you lickety-split. Well, it's time for me to go, but I'll be back again to read some more great stories to you. Until next time, I'm Tristan Gardner. Thank you for listening, and God bless, my friends. And remember, keep using your imaginations. Today's stories and nursery rhymes are The Tale of Tom Kitten, written and illustrated by Beatrix Potter, published in 1907 by Frederick Warren and Company. The Selfish Giant, taken from the book The Happy Prince and Other Tales, written by Oscar Wilde, illustrated by Walter Crane and George Percy Jackham Hood, published in 1888 by Oscar Wilde. The Dog, the Cock, and the Fox, taken from the book The Aesop for Children by Aesop. Pictures by Milo Winter. Published in 1919 by Rand McNally and Company. London Bridge is Falling Down. Originally published in 1744. Music arrangement by The Green Orbs. Winter Time, taken from the book A Child's Garden of Verses by Robert Louis Stevenson. Illustrated by Bessie Collins Pease. Published in 1905 by the Dodge Publishing Company.